Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, before we even begin, I want to thank everybody. This is the 501st episode of Truth in Journalism. 501st episode. Last week was the 500th episode. And I just want to thank everybody. I want to thank everybody who has listened to this broadcast, everybody who has supported this broadcast with prayers or financial support. I want to thank everybody who has encouraged me over the years. And I really am grateful to everybody who has been part of this. In any way, I want to be thankful to everyone for enduring 10 years, almost 10 years of listening to me on a weekly basis. And this has been a great learning experience for me. Doing this weekly broadcast has helped me as develop as a pastor and as a preacher as much as just about anything else has. And so I'm really grateful for the opportunity to meet with you week by week by week and to see how the Word of God applies to our lives, because that is really what this broadcast is dedicated to. This broadcast is dedicated to proving that the Word of God is applicable to life, everyday life, even in this modern age. So once again, I just want to thank everybody. Now, this morning, what we're going to talk about today is coronavirus and Easter, because really there's nothing else going on right now other than coronavirus and Easter. Like, those are the two things. And so I want us to see, to ask the question, can the Bible shed any light on coronavirus? Especially, can Easter shed any light on coronavirus? And I believe that it can. So let's go to the Bible and let's see how the resurrection can apply to our context today. Go to Matthew chapter 28 if you have your Bibles. Matthew 28. And we read, "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now, I've told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.' While the women were on the way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, 'You were to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.' So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee and to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Here in this text, in Matthew 28, we see several different responses to the resurrection, primarily two different responses. Some responded in faith and obedience, others in fear and disobedience. And I think that that's the major distinguishing factor of the difference in the responses to the resurrection. It's fear. Fear is the key to understanding people's reactions to Jesus rising again. Notice that for the people here that Matthew talks about, all of them know for a fact that Jesus rose from the dead. At least until we see the Galilee part, where some of the other disciples who hadn't yet seen Jesus apparently had come. Everybody in the first two sections knew for a fact that Jesus rose from the dead. The guards knew, and therefore so did the priests. It wasn't just the disciples and the apostles who had seen Jesus risen. It was the guards, and they told the priests, and the priests told the elders. The facts of the resurrection were not in dispute. The response to the resurrection was the dividing line, and people's fears determined their response. The angel tells the women, "Don't be afraid." Jesus tells the women, "Don't be afraid." They fear God, and therefore they don't need to fear the resurrection. But the guards, they don't fear God. Well, they fear Caesar and their tribune and centurion, and they fear the lash and the sword and decimation and running the gauntlet. The guards, therefore, should fear the resurrection. The priests and the elders, they don't fear God. They fear losing their power and position. The Jewish leaders should fear the resurrection. For those who fear God, the resurrection is a triumph. For those who do not fear God, the resurrection is a tragedy. The resurrection is the great surprise twist of all history. All other surprise twists are just miniature versions of the surprise twist, which is the resurrection. Those who don't fear God thought that by crucifying Jesus, they would secure their position for themselves. The priests would still rule Judea. Pilate would still rule Judea. Herod would still rule Judea. The people who shouted, "Crucify!" They didn't want Jesus as Messiah. They wanted the violent terrorist Barabbas because they didn't fear God. And when Jesus was crucified, it looked as though the God-haters had triumphed and the God-fearers had lost. God's enemies triumphed and God's friends experienced tragedy on Good Friday. Or so it seemed. Because on Easter morning, their roles were reversed. And the triumph of the godless became the tragedy of the godless. And the tragedy of the God-fearers became the triumph of the God-fearers. Psalm 126, talking about this, says, "A song of ascents. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord.' Like streams in the Negev, those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." And all throughout the Bible, we can see this theme. We can see that those who are cursed in Adam will someday see the curse reversed. But this won't be good news for everyone. Paul, in his farewell to Timothy, writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." You see, friends, Christ's triumph is the triumph of those who long for his appearing. But to those who loathe it, it is a tragedy. And we see this again all throughout the Bible. The people who fear God love his appearing. Those who hate God loathe his appearing. And this is what we see in Matthew's gospel. To those who love his appearing, Jesus' resurrection is the ultimate triumph, the ultimate vindication. In the resurrection, Christ has overturned the world system of sin, death, and decay and inaugurated a new system of life and life everlasting. And this is good news, but it is not good news to all. To those who hate God, the resurrection is nothing but condemnation. To those who hate God, the resurrection means judgment and hell, because the resurrection means that God wins. God wins, friends. Death didn't win, though it looked like it for a time. Sin didn't win, though it looked like it for a time. The grave didn't win, though it looked like it for a time. Satan didn't win, though it looked like it for a time. But their triumph turned to tragedy when Christ arose. Because when Christ arose, death was defeated. When Christ arose, sin was defeated. When Christ arose, the grave was defeated. When Christ arose, Satan was defeated. Christ's resurrection defeated all the powers arrayed against God and his Messiah, but the resurrection proved Christ to be the victor, and Christ's victory means triumph for those who fear God. Maybe right now you're saying, "Okay, sure, Lukey Poo, we get that. But you said this was going to be about coronavirus and Easter." It is, friends, it is. You see, Easter is all about how Christ has conquered the grave and defeated death and sin and Satan. And this is good news for those who fear God, but for those who don't fear God, this is very bad news. You see, friends, Easter is all about fear because it is a fearful event. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it's bad, but it is fearful. Indeed, the resurrection is dreadful in the old sense of the word. It is an event full of dread because the resurrection means that God will judge the world through Christ. The world is not all there is. This world will not keep on going as it always has, or at least as people think it always has. The resurrection means there is coming a cosmic cataclysm. The resurrection means that God is going to overthrow the entire world system. The resurrection means that all things are going to be changed and changed violently. The resurrection means that someday and someday soon, all things are going to be overturned and placed under the feet of Jesus Christ. That is dreadful. The resurrection inaugurates God's countdown to the overthrow of Satan as the prince of this world and the tyrannical rule of the grave. From the moment Jesus walked out of the tomb, the clock has been ticking down to the moment when Christ returns to kill all who resist him and cast them into hell. The resurrection is the worst news in the world for those who do not fear God. But to those who do fear God, for those who hate death and the grave and sin and Satan, the resurrection is the foretaste of the coming triumph when God will vindicate his Christ and his saints by giving the world to them as an inheritance. And you say, but what does that have to do with coronavirus? Fear! It is all about fear! Friends, coronavirus is all about fear. And I'm not saying that none of it is justified, or at least justifiable. I'm not saying that we shouldn't fear harming others by recklessly spreading disease. I'm not saying that we shouldn't fear getting sick in some way, but I am saying that the blind panic that the world is in over coronavirus stems largely from the fact that the world does not fear God. They do not fear God, and so this world is all they have, and anything that threatens this world is the dread panic, the scourge that must be eliminated at any and all costs. Now, again, I'm not saying that we should be cavalier, but I'm not afraid of coronavirus. I fear God. And so I don't need to fear the virus. I understand that the virus could harm my family or my friends or my country or me. And I know that that's serious. I know that we need to take serious steps to control the spread of the virus, but I don't fear it. I fear God. And I trust God. And I believe that God will not allow anything to happen to me that isn't ultimately for my good. It doesn't, of course, mean that I like coronavirus. It doesn't mean that I ought to be reckless. It does mean that I know whom to fear. And if you think I'm sounding like overly righteous, let's look at what Jesus says. In Luke 12, Jesus says, I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Jesus tells us not to fear the powerful enemies of God because they cannot do anything to our soul. All they can do is kill our bodies. Instead, we ought to fear God. Christ stole the dread and fear from coronavirus when he rose from the grave. Coronavirus has no power except that which God permits it to have. Death will come to no person that God does not permit. The grave will overtake no one without God's permission. And we know this is a fact because Jesus defeated death. Death cannot defeat God because God has already defeated death. Jesus commands death to be silent and do as it's told. And like the sniveling cur that it is, death tucks its tail between its legs and slinks off to obey. The power of coronavirus is death, and death has lost its sting. Victory was robbed from death when Jesus triumphed over death, shattering its teeth and its mouth and walking out of the tomb to give life to all who love his appearing. But to those who loathe his appearing, the resurrection means that death and sin and Satan and the grave are their end. Judgment and condemnation are the end of those who hate God, and so the resurrection is hateful. But to those who love his appearing, the resurrection means life and life everlasting, because love wins and Christ wins and God wins. Christ is so magnificently, wonderfully, awesomely, excellently great. To him are all majesty and praise and honor and worship and glory and power and blessing. Friends, don't fear coronavirus. Fear God. Don't fear death, fear God. Don't fear Satan, fear God. Don't fear the grave, fear God. Be like the righteous women at the tomb, worship God and rejoice in the resurrection. Be like the apostles and the disciples, worship God and rejoice in the resurrection. Fear God, for when you fear God, you don't need to fear death because God has defeated death. Fear God, for when you fear God, you don't need to fear coronavirus because God has defeated death, which is the sting of coronavirus. Fear God. All of humanity can be divided into two groups, those who fear God and those who don't. Those who fear God have nothing else to fear. Those who do not fear God have everything to fear, for they do not fear God. Let us fear rightly. Let us fear God so that we can triumph in his triumph. Let us fear rightly. Let us fear God so that we will not have to fear anything else. I hope and pray we will. and I hope you'll join us again next week for another exciting episode of Truth in Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless this Easter day to His glory.